turn to John chapter 21. We'll eventually, at the end of the study, get back to Luke chapter 24, picking up in verse 46. But what we were doing in looking at the events, we saw that in Luke 24, verse 36, was the same appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in John chapter 20, where he first appeared to the 10 disciples, and then 8 days later, he appeared to Thomas. So we covered those last week, and I tried to get over to chapter 21 and kind of messed up looking for, I think it's verse 4. Nope, it's not. Verse 14. But anyhow, at the end of the last study. But we got to chapter 21, and I said, no, I'm not going to teach this one now, because these are the appearances of the Lord that are recorded in the book of John, not recorded in the book of Luke. But they are the appearances and the events of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the one here, if John chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. So John is going to, he already talked about, he appeared to the 10, then 8 days later he appeared to Thomas. We also realize that Matthias is in that group. So sometimes you read about the 11, and that's why, because Matthias is really there. John, he already covered those two events in chapter 20, and then that's why chapter 21, verse 1 says, after these things. And so John is going to tell us about another appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice where he's at. They're up at the Sea of Tiberias, which if you look over in John chapter 6, since it's the same book, it tells you in verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So I wanted to point out to you, and that's why I put up this map, everything that we've studied so far is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And in fact, it's only the first 8 days of his appearances. Everything in Luke chapter 36 down to verse about 45 was all, in Luke chapter 24, was all about the first day, the Sunday, the day that Christ rose from the dead. When we went over to John, we realized 8 days later he showed up and Thomas was there the next time, but that's all taking place in Jerusalem. Now all of a sudden in chapter 21, it picks up, they're all up here at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. And so they have shifted location. We'll talk about a little bit more about where they're at and why they're there. But I just wanted you to see that that's the event. In verse 2, it says, chapter 21, verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana, Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Well, James and John are the sons of Zebedee. So you've got three mentioned by name, two sons of Zebedee, which we know are James and John, and then it just says two others. So we know that this gathering here isn't all the disciples. There's only seven that are there. And the Lord's going to appear to those seven. Verse 3, it says, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night caught nothing. So when Peter makes that statement, I go fishing, you realize that's not he's not saying I'm going to take a vacation, go fishing for the weekend. When he says I go fishing, you remember that is his occupation before the Lord called him. In fact, it was at the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum where Peter was first called to be the Lord's disciple and ultimately called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. But here we keep seeing how even though the Lord's appearing to them, they're still suffering some confusion here. And so when Peter says, I go fishing, he's saying, I'm going back to my former occupation. And these guys were fishermen as well, and so they're joining him going back to fishing. Verse 4, It says, but when the morning, so they fished all night, they didn't catch anything. It says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, you know, that could be for a couple reasons. It's another one of those appearances of the Lord, and whether, you know, it depends how far Lord's on shore, how far are they out? They see a man on shore, they don't recognize who he is. You find out there's a little bit more problem with that, but at this point, they don't know it's the Lord. Verse 5, it says, then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. So they can yell back and forth. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Now, what the Lord just did to them is how he called them in the very first place. Come back to Luke chapter 5. We study the book of Luke, so you probably got this memorized, but all the way back to Luke chapter 5, and we begin in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of the Gennesarets and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for the draught. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished at all that were with him at the drought of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when he had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now even catch the last two words there, followed him. So this is where he said, I'll make you fishers of men. And they left fishing and followed him and to become fishers of men. So you realize when you're reading over here in John chapter 21, Peter says, I go fishing. He's going back to that. And the Lord then shows up and they don't realize it's the Lord. And he asked them, did you catch anything? And no, we didn't catch nothing. He says, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find, and sure enough, there's a multitude of fishes. So that takes us back to John chapter 21, and verses now 7 through 11 is where John begins to recognize who this is. And it's kind of obvious, you know, how many people, you know, I've gone fishing, I usually just drown worms, but I'll fish on this side of the boat, and I get tired, and so I throw it on this side of the boat, but I get the same result no matter what side I throw it on. But here the Lord says, throw it on the right side, and all of a sudden you catch a multitude of fishes. So anyhow, verse 7 says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which we believe is John, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was about 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. So they're like 300 feet out. And so they're dragging in the fishes, and it tells you even how many fish they brought in and everything. But in verse 7, it appears to be John who realized that's the Lord. And certainly he realized it from the event that took place, because it certainly brought something back to his memory. But anyhow, they get there, and you pick up in verse 12. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine." So that means like the Lord, they're just bringing in the fishes, and the Lord must have already prepared some fish and got the fire going, because now they're ready to eat. You know, it's just kind of implied in the verse. But it says, "Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples dost ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord." Now, you might recall last week, I thought I was going to get to this verse. And I started out talking about how, in some cases, it looks like they recognize the Lord. In some cases, they don't recognize the Lord. And certainly, Mary Magdalene didn't realize it was the Lord until he said Mary. And the two on the road to Emmaus didn't know it until he broke bread with them. And then we talked about whether when the Lord showed up and the doors were shut and they were afraid, I always took it, they just thought they're seeing a spirit. Larry takes it as if they don't even know it's the Lord, and that's a possibility, because here John figured out it's the Lord, and these guys in verse 12, they're sitting down, they're going to eat with the Lord, but none of them dare ask, "Who are you?" So there is something different about the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he is the one verse we saw, he was withholden, that is, something held back their eyes from realizing who he was. So all these different appearances, when they don't realize it, does his body look different, or is he making them not understand who he is by holding back their vision somehow and leaving it? But here's the point. I was thinking about it last week. Why is that? Because it really seems strange that they really don't know for sure. I mean, you can look at that verse and realize they're wondering, but they're not going to dare say it. At least that's how I read the verse. And I wondered about that. And part of the answer to that is it might be that the Lord wants them to know on the basis of faith and not by sight. Remember how John, when Thomas came to realize who Jesus was, verse 29 of chapter 20, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." And Thomas, the way he was going to believe it was Jesus is by thrusting his hand into the side and putting his fingers in the nail prints in his hand. So it wasn't just like, "Oh yeah, you're the Jesus I remember walking around with." It's that evidence of his body. So it does seem like that it might be a testimony preparing us for the future. The only way we know the Lord is on the basis of faith. They have a witness of Scripture. He's been telling them he's going to meet with them and that he's going to rise again. And so for them, it is a matter of putting it together and realizes he is risen from the dead. And even if he looks different, or their eyes are withholden where they don't recognize immediately that it's the Lord, they eventually, through the actions and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, realize who he is. Mary Magdalene, Mary, breaks bread. So that it seems like that God is putting the emphasis on faith in these verses. So verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and gave them, and fishes likewise. This now is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now that tells you that the schedule that we're looking at, we saw the first time was, well, in the book of John is John 20, verse 19. The second time is down in verse 25, where he's now going to appear to Thomas. And now here he's by the Sea of Galilee. This is the third time that the disciples realize that the Lord is risen. So after that takes place, the Lord now is going to call his apostles, call them back to apostleship. They went fishing, and so verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. So these would be the fish, the boats, the Sea of Galilee, the old occupation. You love me more than these? Give up that occupation, come back, and do the work that I've called you for as an apostle. He says, feed my lambs. Down in verse 16, feed my sheep. Down in verse 17, feed my sheep. So he's calling them back to apostleship. Then verse 18, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So not only is he calling Peter back, he's preparing Peter that you're going to come back, you're going to serve me, and you're going to die serving me. He's going to be martyred someday. He's going to be bound and carried where he wouldn't want to go. And verse 19, we wouldn't know what that's about except 19 interprets it. But notice the end of verse 19. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Remember the last words in Luke chapter 5? When he called them, he said, Follow me. So he's calling the disciples back to follow him. In verse 20 and following, there's a question like, well, if I'm going to die, what about John? And the Lord says, well, if he tarries till I come, what's that to you? And verse 22, the Lord said it this way. Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So he's calling Peter back, and it's rumored that John's going to live till Jesus comes back, but that was just a rumor based on that statement. The Lord is saying if, and it's a conditional thing there. So he's calling the disciples back to himself. So this was the seventh appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been looking at those appearances of the resurrection. It's the 18th of the events that we were talking about, but the seventh appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as verse 14 told us, it's the third time to the disciples themselves. Now, come to Matthew chapter 26. Now, we could go all kinds of places. I'm trying to pick the spots where I can show you most of the verses right here. The next event is a pre-planned meeting in a mountain in Galilee. And so remember, they had already went from Jerusalem and they're up here by the Sea of Galilee. And now the next event is going to take place in a mountain. They're in the sea, by the sea. But somewhere up there in Galilee, the Lord is going to meet with them again. And so if you look at chapter 26 and verse 31, it says, Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended, because this is where he's going to get arrested, because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So this is part of the witness of Scripture. The Lord told he's going to rise again. But he didn't just say, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to meet with you in Galilee. So there's a reference there. So as soon as he rises from the dead, come over to chapter 28 of Matthew. And this is where he appears to the women. He says in verse 5, it says, and it's not him talking, it's the angel that showed up in the tomb. It says, And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he has said. Come, I like that, as he has said. Come see the place where the Lord laid. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. So the angel tells the women, go tell the disciples that the Lord's going to appear to them in Galilee, just like he said he was going to. When you get down to verse 10, it says, and the women are on their way, but they don't make it to the disciples. It says, then said Jesus unto them, he stops them on their way, and he says unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So the angel said it, the Lord Jesus Christ said it, the women go and tell the disciples, yep, the Lord is risen, he said he's going to see you in Galilee. There's a pre-planned meeting there in Galilee. So pick up in verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. See, you always got that negative in here. And then what he's going to do, he's going to go over their commission. We'll talk about that commission next week. But I just wanted to point out to you that he kept telling them there is this pre-planned meeting. In verse 16, it's real informative. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So when he says, I'm going to meet you in Galilee, they know they're going to meet in a mountain, in a certain mountain that the Lord had appointed. Now, it doesn't tell us where that mountain is, but they knew where the mountain was. And so the disciples go to that mountain, and sure enough, the Lord shows up there in verse 17, and when they saw him. So the Lord is now appearing to them in that pre-planned meeting. This is the fourth appearance to the apostles, and it's somewhere in Galilee, probably somewhere near the Sea of Tiberias, but anyhow, that's where the pre-planned meeting's at. Now, hold your place in Matthew, I think that's the best, but I want you to come all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because Paul's going to help us all the way through the rest of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'll just start from the beginning because it gives the gospel. It's always good to hear the gospel. It says, moreover, chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So the Lord here is going to again appear unto the 12, and we just talked about that. He appeared unto the 12 in John chapter when Thomas was there, that was where the 12 would have been. But in verse 6 it says, after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. So now it's some years later, 4 or 5 years later, that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians. And when he talks about the proofs of the resurrection of Christ, he brings up a witness that others don't tell us about, that there was an appearance of the Lord where he appeared before 500 brethren at one time, and then Paul challenges people, check it out. When he makes that statement, of whom the greater part remains unto the present, that means, if you don't believe me, go ask those 500 people. and most of them are still alive. Maybe some are dead, but most of them are still alive. So he's challenging them of the proof of the resurrection of of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, on Sunday, I passed out those few that I had, bookmarks. You want to keep a bookmark in 1 Corinthians 15, because Paul's not done yet. And so we'll be coming back to that. But I wanted you to see that there is this time that only the Apostle Paul talks about, 500 brethren at once. Now this will be speculation, but I've told you to hold your place in Matthew, but I want you to again look at John chapter 6, where we read a few minutes ago. And I'm going to read that first, and then we're going to go back to Matthew. In John chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, after these things, I better give you time to get there. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went into a mountain. So notice that. He's by the Sea of Tiberias, but there's a mountain by the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus went into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So they're kind of familiar with a certain mountain. That's one of the points of looking at this. And it goes on to say, and Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And if you, what's it down in verse 10 there? There's 5,000 brethren that he's going to feed them here. So I just wanted you to see the connection there. There's a mountain not far from the Sea of Galilee, a place where the disciples know to sit with the Lord, and a place where the Lord met with 5,000 people at one time. Now that's interesting. Come back to Matthew chapter 4 this time. So we pick up in verse 23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken of diverse diseases, tormented, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and beyond Jordan. So there's a whole bunch of people from all over the place. But he himself is up in Galilee, chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went into a mountain, and when he had set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and this is where you get the Sermon on the Mount. That goes all, he keeps teaching all the way to chapter 8, and look at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And so here the Lord, that Sermon on the Mount takes place there somewhere in that area of Galilee where a great multitude had been gathered and they followed him. And in verse 5, it says of chapter 8, and when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. So Capernaum, that's why I said, that's where Peter was first called of the Lord in that Sea of Galilee. So he's right there somewhere where there's a mountain in that area where it just seems like a place that he resorts to. The reason I say all that is, could it be that that's the place where the 500 brethren at once saw him? We don't know, but there is a certain place the disciples knew where to go to meet him, and it's a place where multitudes showed up a couple different times, and it seems like a very popular mountain in Galilee where the Lord had taught. So no one knows where it was. Paul says he appeared before 500 brethren at once, and that is a possibility of where that sat. And but either way, that now, the 500 brethren once, is the ninth appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the resurrection, as we're putting it. Because you can see he went from Jerusalem up to Galilee, and now a mountain in Galilee. So it looks like those things are taking place there. Now, if you got 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read one verse, and that's verse 7. After he appeared to the 500 brethren at once, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7 says, after that he was seen of James. Then he'll say, then all the apostles. So there's a special appearance that he had with James. So I should have had you hold John chapter 6. And it's really chapter 7 that I want this time. This would be James, the Lord's brother. It's in Galatians 1, verse 19. That's what Paul talks about, the different places, persons he visited after he came to been called of the Lord. He went and saw James, the Lord's brother. But here in John chapter 7, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, that's down in Jerusalem, Judea, because Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand, so he has to go down for the feast day. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go to Judea, that the disciples that thy disciples also may see the works that thou dost. For there is no man that doth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now, it's his brethren. You know, you have that Mark chapter 6 and verse 3 there where it names Mary's other children. And those are his brother. James is among them. Go down and show yourself. Do the miracles you're doing so everyone can know who you are. But they're saying that because they don't believe on him. So they don't have faith either. Verse 6 says, Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. You know, if he goes, they're going to kill him. But your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, and the works thereof are evil. Go up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. So he says, you go up. I'm not going up yet. And hopefully you have a King James Bible, because if you don't have a King James Bible, it says real plainly, he said, I'm not going. They leave the yet out, because verse 9 says, and when he said these words unto them, he abode in Galilee, but when his brethren were gone up, then he went also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. He did go. So the King James has got it right. All the other translations make Jesus Christ a liar. But my point isn't that. My point is that he appeared to James, because when you're reading this, you realize James is a non-believer. But now he's going to get a special appearance. And I don't know, like, there's Nazareth where Jesus was raised. So I don't know if this has taken place that he visits James up in Nazareth, because when you read about the Holy Spirit coming, James is down here in Jerusalem. And I'm not going to take the verses, but you can go into the book of Acts and realize that when the Apostle Paul, like, goes in Acts chapter 15 to tell the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem about his doctrine, that there's two people that get up and conclude that Paul is indeed have a revelation from Jesus Christ to go to the Gentiles. Peter was the first, and James is the second. Because what you read, and then like in chapter 22, when Paul goes to Jerusalem, he reports to James. James is the leading elder of the church of Jerusalem, and Peter is the leading apostle of the 12 apostles. So, but that takes place down here. So I don't know the special appearance where James gets a special, he didn't believe, now the Lord rose from the dead. You might even recall, remember John 19, where the Lord's on the cross, and he says to John, behold your mother. And he says to Mary, behold your son. She's got other sons, real sons, but it's like the Lord is putting John in charge of his mother, because James is not a believer. But James, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, James and Jude, who wrote the books, James and Jude, become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyhow, there's a special appearance just to James, and James now is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that other verse, then he appeared to all the apostles. And so not only there was an appearance to James, there is another appearance to all the apostles. And that takes us to where our study is at in the book of Luke, chapter 24. And we're not going to study the verses, we're just going to look at them to show that here's another appearance of the Lord to the apostles. After he appeared to James, he appeared again to all the apostles, as the Apostle Paul wrote down. And so in Luke chapter 24 and verse 46, it says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are all witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he departed from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continued in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now we'll talk about the verses next week, but there's another appearance. There's a break between verse 45 and 46, but I'll talk about that, might be somewhere else. But there's a break here that takes place. But I first want to just point out another appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This would be the fifth appearance to the disciples. But then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8 says this. He says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." So the last person to see Jesus Christ after the resurrection is the Apostle Paul, and the special calling of the Apostle Paul. You can read about that, where the Lord appears to him, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. Paul goes over those accounts. He goes in great detail in Galatians chapter 1. But those are the appearances. This is the appearance to the Apostle Paul, and where Paul receives his commission. The 12, they're commissioned, as we'll see in Luke, the end of the book of Luke next week. But Paul is then given his commission, and that is then the 12th appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. So that kind of fills in the paper you have. The one thing, and we don't have time to go there today, but we'll pick up right there next week, because I want to point out that in Acts chapter 1, where the Lord ascends back into heaven, that's 40 days after his resurrection. When you read Luke verses 46 through 53, it looks like it's taking place the same day he rose from the dead. So there's a gap in here, and we'll talk about that next week, and then talk about what the Lord is concluding in the book of Luke, and wrap up the book of Luke then. So anyhow, those are the appearances, the events and the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for a Bible that gives us so many things to think about, things to study, and then even after study, just to reflect on the verses, especially the very thought of the Lord Jesus Christ not exactly appearing like he did when he walked the earth before the resurrection, but somehow a little different in his appearance. But his actions, his words, the fulfilling of Scripture prove without a doubt his resurrection. And there's an element of faith there, even about those who walk the earth with him in his first coming. And so, Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to study the Bible, believe your scriptures, believe in the resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and be a part of the benefit of his death, burial, and resurrection by trusting in his blood to save us from our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.